Hello and welcome back to Illumination, the Disney Lorcana podcast. My name is Max.
And I'm Sam.
And we are back with episode 45 coming your way. This episode is the Blurple-isode. We are talking nothing but Blurple during this episode. Good news for those of you who don't like Blurple. We are also talking about how to ready and shore up your match against Blurple as well. So this isn't going to be all Blurple love. It's just going to be all circling around Blurple in general. The reason we want to talk about this is because if you listened to the last episode, you would have heard that Cliff, Sam, and myself all really like playing Blurple. So we wanted to talk about it in tandem with the fact that in a lot of current tournaments, Blurple is putting up a massive amount of players into the top eight. So its conversion isn't always fantastic, right? Like, it's not always going top four and then winning, but it often is, and it's often representing nearly 50% or better of a lot of the higher cuts in these particular larger tournaments. So we think it's warranted both to talk about if you want to up your game or get into Blurple, or if you simply want to do a better job at regularly dispatching Blurple. So that's the goal of the episode today. Sam, tell us a little bit about Blurple. What is it trying to do?
We're trying to draw a bunch of cards with Dumbo, with Genie, with Finders Keepers, or second star to the right, whichever you prefer, or maybe a combination of both, and just over time win and get to 20.
And how do we do that?
By questing.
And before that?
Drawing cards.
And before that?
Stopping your opponent.
And before that? The most important thing we do, the one thing you can't keep a hand if it doesn't have.
Ramp.
Ramp. Yes. Sam danced around it.
But I did.
You ramp and then do all of the other stuff that Sam mentioned.
I forgot step one.
Yeah, step one, ramp. So that is what the Blurple deck is trying to do. And Sam's absolutely right. We're trying to gain card advantage. We are trying to add very well-statted and high-questing characters to the board while maintaining card advantage in the game. It just lets us continue to answer threats, add to the board, and keep our options open while moving ever closer to getting 20 lore. So it's a very oppressive deck. It does exactly what Amethyst wants to do very fast. It does it above schedule because we're ramping a lot of the time. So that is the goal of Blurple. And breaking it down, Blurple's kind of gained its foundation, right? You're going to play eight ramp spells. Some people play more. Minimally, you're playing four Teepo, four Sail the Azurite Sea. You're going to play some amount of one drops. Likely, you're going to be playing Basil in most lists. You're going to see some lists playing the Royal Guard, which is the octopus.
Good job.
And you'll also see lists playing Rafiki as their one drop of choice. Some will play neither. Some will play three of those things. Some will play up to four of those things. It's rare to see more than Basil plus one of those cards in number four. It's like rare to see like six plus Basil or something like that. It's usually four, two, six, one drop slots. Some people will go as far as eight in a lot of cases, depending on how much you think your meta is going to be more aggressively slanted. Then from there, you're going to play Genie on four. You're going to play some number of Iago, most likely. You're going to be playing Elsa, Fist Spirit. You're going to be playing Belle, Accomplished Mystic. You're going to be playing Dumbo, of course. You're going to be playing, what else is there on five that I'm not thinking of? Anything?
You got both on five, but you did miss the Elephant.
Madam Mim Elephant, yes, kind of a staple here. We also see on the six, we've been seeing some flexibility with what gets played. Depends on your style. but largely you're going to have some kind of a six drop, preferably a six drop that can deal with evasive threats to help you in the mirrors or similar situations. Then you're going to move into Hades. Of course, got to have Hades. Then you're either going to be playing Elsa or you're going to be playing Monstro. Then from there, there's a mix of card advantage-y things, Finder's Keeper, Second Star to the right. You could be playing Ancestral Visions, Develop Your Brain. There are a lot of options, even some dig a little deeper in there from time to time.
Ancestral Visions?
Visions of the future. What is that?
Visions of the future.
Ancestral vision. It's ancestral recall, but it's got suspend.
I didn't know if that was an accident or
no. No, it's not an accident. That's a magic card.
Okay.
But yes. Yeah. What is it? Visions of the future?
Yes.
Okay. That card. So that one. I've been playing a lot of cube drafts, so forgive me. I've been playing a lot more magic. But that is what we're trying to do. There are flex slots in Blurple. Generally, there's about eight of them that you can use to move some things around. You might be able to get squeeze a couple more drops out of that if you need to. But you're looking at on six, TikTok can be a flex slot. Mm-hmm. On four, Scrooge McDuck. I think it's Antiquity Aficionado or Antiques Aficionado, something like that. And that is a flex slot. The one drop of Royal Guard or Rafiki can be a flex slot. You can choose in that spot to play something like Develop instead if you want to have a better match into the mirror. You can instead play the one drop if you want a better match into your Amber Steel or your Amethyst Steel decks. Just depends on kind of flavor to taste. You can do a lot of different things. We're going to start to break it down a little bit here. So we'll start with the mirror match meta. If you feel like your meta is a lot of Blurple and you want to jump in and fight Blurple with Blurple, there's a few cards that I recommend that you have in your deck. Second Star to the right is probably the most critical piece in the mirror. The negative is it has very diminishing returns when we move outside of the mirror. This card can be a liability in certain matchups that's not the mirror. Against the Emerald Sapphire builds, it can be really, really bad for you because it can just sit there or you have to fire it off and then they declare a bell. So it can be a liability there. It can be just expensive and you're never going to have time to sing together against the aggressive deck. So it's just dead in your hand. But we do play Teepo. And Teepo isn't going anywhere, and Teepo can kind of hide your sins a little bit and put your second stars into your inkwell. The other big get for the mirror match is TikTok for 7/6 with evasive quest for one. That's its abilities. That's it. It's a common. And this card does a lot of heavy lifting in the mirror to be able to take out a lot of your genies, your Dumbos, and still live to tell the tale. Have some damage counters on it to throw around with a bell. It can really help it can help get the board back to parity. It really can do that quite nicely. And the other thing that helps is obviously not having cards that do nothing in your deck, aka a one drop, like a Rafiki or a Royal Guard. So instead, you can play something like Develop Your Brain or Visions or whatever that card's called.
Yeah.
Visions of the future.
I do think helps. The one drop being Basil is really good in the mirror, though.
The Basil is so good. And that's why I think if you want to make, like, getting through this talk, we'll talk about how you can shore up your deck in most matchups, and I think that the four Basils help the most. The worst thing about it in the mirrors is it, or in the against the aggressive decks, it really doesn't help against Calhouns or Nalas. It's like, ugh, it doesn't do quite enough, but it does such a nice job on four, being able to power up your Elsa Fifth Spirit, that it can be forgiven for a lot of its shortcomings. I mean, this card costs one, and it's doing so much more heavy lifting than a one drop has any right to. So that's definitely very good. Those are ways you can help your Blurple meta. If you're going into an Emerald Sapphire meta, the one card that they don't want to see out of the Blurple players, and we've been seeing it creep its way into lists more and more, is Monstro. This card cannot... The important thing that Monstro does in this matchup is it avoids being susceptible to heads held high into Under the Sea. And that's why it's so strong. Obviously, it then also can just be a ridiculously strong board wipe. It can start wiping the board. It can move damage counters very easily with a bell. It can do a lot of heavy lifting in this matchup, even coming down, hitting a couple things and being picked up on the following turn with a Madam Mim Elephant to then threaten to do those things over again can be a very powerful play pattern against the Emerald Sapphire decks. And then another good card here, obviously being Develop Your Brain. It's keeping you card neutral, but it's also letting you find the best card of the top two. So you can often pick a powerful card, and the Visions of the Future obviously doing something similar with five cards, where you can look at cards, take one, and then keep your hands small so that Clarabelles don't come down and just completely change the shape of the game. Their tempo tools are so good at taking Blurple away from gaining that advantage. It stops all the two questers very easily. It can put genies on the bottom. It can bounce things, slows the Dumbos down tremendously. It just does a lot of heavy lifting against what the deck is trying to do. And the Emerald Sapphire decks have seen a lot of popularity because of how well they prey on the Blurple decks. So if you are worried about this being a heavier part of your meta, you really got to practice a lot, and you really need to make sure you're armed with a couple of Monstro, and I'd recommend moving away from the one drops that don't do anything, because you're just not going to aggro them out either. Like, it doesn't really help you in a world where they can shift to Baymax on a Teepo very quickly. So you want to use something like Develop Your Brain to keep your hand small, but also be able to filter your draws so you're getting what you need to get as much as possible. Moving on to Amber Steel, Scrooge, obviously quite good. This is going to apply to Amber Steel as well. Also, your one drops really shine here. So this is the reason we put these things in the deck here, right? That's what we're talking about, is these tend to be very, very good in that matchup. So I think that you really want to make sure that is on your mind. And there is a card. This is the spice. This is why you pay nothing. You don't pay anything. But this is why, if you had to pay, you would, for these trade secrets that you get from this podcast. In this case, I'm going to let you all in on the super secret tech that's been just overperforming for our team in testing. And that card is Magical Maneuver. This card is extremely potent. Sam, what is Magical Maneuvers?
Magical Maneuvers is an action where it costs two, it's inkable, and you bounce one of your characters and exert one of opposing character.
Yes, it's a two-drop action. It is inkable. It's not a song, so it doesn't get caught up by Ursula or anything. It lets you exert an opposing character, and then you get to return one of your characters back. Or you can exert any character. It does not have to strictly be an opposing character, okay, which is important because sometimes you don't want to target. Sometimes it's really potent when your opponent has an Iago out, because it does choose any character, and then you get to simply return a character to your hand, which in Blurple is a pretty significant advantage when so many cards do something when they come into play. Mm-hmm. So it is very potent in these matchups on turn six. Turn six is the awkward turn, or I guess it's turn five technically. Your six ink turn is the awkward turn for Blurple, because now you've gone Genie, Scrooge, Elephant, something potent on four, Dumbo, whatever you need to play, Iago. Then on five, you play Elsifis Spirit most of the time. Or if you are able to connect with one of these units, you can get a bell down. And then you go into your next turn here on your sixth ink, and it's like, this is the first really critical decision point. If everything's gone smoothly for your hand up to this point, this is the I need to think about this. This is okay. Elsa and Genie got to take out an opposing Genie, and so now it makes a lot of sense to play a bell and put damage counters on something. It can be anything along those lines. Magical Maneuver helps really make it a turn where you go, okay, I'm going to Magical Maneuver, get value, and then replay that Genie. It makes your turn six super smooth. You're replacing your card. You're getting Genie either questing or challenging and then picked up and put back down, so he's upright, away from most danger. And you also get to interact with your opponent's board, which is very annoying for the Amethyst Steel and Amber Steel decks. Yeah. So Maneuver does a really good job. The hidden mode, and the reason why it's so good, is because it also works really effectively in these more slowed down matchups, because you get to do things like return Hades, return Elsa, and then you get to retempo your opponent, which is extremely strong when you need to do this in the late game. Now, if with Madame Malefant plus Hades plus two magical maneuver, I'm playing 10 Hades in right. the mirror, and that is significant when my opponent only has access to 8. Most likely.
It also really does a good job at breaking up stalled board states. Because if you can pick up a Hades, exert something, smack something, and then Hades, their last thing.
You've taken over the game.
It's just game over.
That is the kind of board state that really helps. And it's the reason why in these stalled board states, a lot of players are leaning on something like Second Star to the Right. Because singing does change the state of the game. Because I've just added 5 cards to my hand. Where we're just simply answering the board and going, okay, now I'm going to be ahead for many turns, so figure that out. It's a tough answer. And your opponent, if they then draw the second star the turn after you've just wiped their board, they lose the game on the spot. It's cool, I drew a 10 cost uninkable. I now lose this game. So it does a lot of heavy lifting across various different matchups. Super strong card. I recommend testing with it if you haven't had the opportunity to do so. It's really quite good. So that is a potent card to be playing right now. Let's talk a little bit about play patterns, since we're talking about key cards. Amber Steel, 1-drop on 1 if you can help it. If not, that's okay. Don't fret. If you have Sail, you might draw a 1-drop and be able to play it on turn 2. Not a problem. A lot of players prefer to wait to play their 1-drops if possible. If you're on the play, you get this luxury, because then you can see if you're going to keep drawing 1-drops. I'm going to ink one now because I don't need to play all of these 1-drops. I'm just going to ink one. It helps me make better decision points in the future because I waited a turn and got to see extra cards as a result. So a really strong play pattern there. Obviously, we're ramping on 2. Hopefully, then playing that 1-drop if we hadn't already. Scrooge on turn 3 is great. If we played Teepo as our ramp choice, you also can Elephant on this drop. Fantastic. You want an Elsa and then Belle. And then obviously if you can set up an Into the Unknown in the middle of all this play pattern for a pesky Tiana, you're off to the races. It's very, very hard for Amber Steel to win in this play pattern. Going into Emerald Sapphire, the goal is to try to meet them during different points of the game with your hand size being approximately the same or like 1 to 2 cards lower than their hand size. The card that really breaks this matchup open is Claribel. So you want to try your best to play around Claribel as much as you can. So being able to answer a Claribel, they won't turn the Claribel sideways. They just will not do it because then they make themselves susceptible to you opening up with something to hit the Claribel. So they won't do that. So it's really hard for you and awkward for you to be able to answer a Claribel. And it gets even worse if they play a Claribel 1-drop and Claribel 3-drop, because then even if you went first, you can take care of one of them, but you're likely not going to be able to take care of both of them. That becomes very daunting. So that's really the card you have to watch out for. So the best way to play around it is to try to keep your hand at relative parity with them. This is hard to do because they also play cards like Mother Knows Best and You're Welcome to make your hand grow in size. So that's why I say you want to play 1 to 2 cards under what they have in hand. So if they have 3, you want to have 1. If they have 4, you want to have 2. It's really important to try to do that as best you can. The other thing you want to do is try to leverage things that quest quickly. Scrooge is actually kind of good in this match because it's annoyingly statted and it can quest very quickly. So those are things that can really help you stay on point against this particular deck. Obviously, answering a Claribel is fantastic. If you're on the play and they only have a 1-drop Claribel and you just get to Elsa and take it out the turn before they get to shift, golden.
By the time they play the big one, you have Hades.
Exactly. You have a quick answer and you're trying to keep your hand low. Don't be afraid to use your Teepos smartly in this match. You would much rather have ink than you would have cards sitting in your hand waiting to be played, because if they play Bend My Will, you're in a really bad position. So just keep that in mind as you navigate. It's about smartly allocating your resources. This is the matchup where if you are playing second star to the right, you're going to hate it because you just never want to deploy this card ever.
Yeah.
Maybe if you draw it with like 9 cards left in your deck, it's okay.
Yeah.
But I think bad, largely.
I think another thing is just like paying attention to your strength on board because of Under the Sea. So if you can play characters that don't get Under the Seed, it definitely is helpful.
Yes, this is why a lot of decks are leaning into Monstro as a piece of technology because it's the rest of your deck. I got bad news for you. If they have heads held high, it's all going.
Yeah, if they have held high, it's very hard to play around it. But I always try to at least play around just the one.
Yes, you kind of have to play to the board because you have to quest. And you kind of have to just shrug and go, listen, if you got it, you got it. But that's why keeping your hand low is so critical because their card draw is largely based on you having cards. So you need to play a little bit differently. Turbo ramping, things like that can really help. Iago is really good in this match because they just don't have a lot of tools that effectively answer it. The vast majority of them are not playing Heffalumps and Woozles, so you don't have to really worry about a lot of things answering your Iago easily, and he's an annoying unit for them to have to handle. Moving on to Amethyst Steel, if you can cast Magical Maneuvers on 6 with a decent on your 6th ink turn 5 with a decent board, you basically got them cooked. It's really hard for them to come back.
There's been several times where I play Maneuvers on 4 ink as well. Like if I don't have a great 4 drop, playing that on 4 ink and being able to get rid of like an illusion character on 1 plus their other character has been like backbreaking for that deck.
Yeah, definitely. So that can be a big key. In the mirror, you have to really practice this a lot. You have to know your play draw matchup. You have to understand the role that cards like Iago. I know a lot of people do not like Iago because of how fragile it is. It's in here for you being on the draw in the mirror a lot of time. Yes, there's hypnotic strength in the mirrors, but they have to take their next turn off in order to hypnotic strength your Iago. They're taking an entire, they just can't do anything else. There's no other play they get to make. They could Into the Unknown if you happen to have something exerted. That's the other play they have to make. Unless, I guess you could self-ramp. That'd be a weird thing to try, but you could do it. But that's really all they have on 3 to be able to follow up. It's another reason why a card like Magical Maneuvers can help make things a little less awkward in that on that fifth ink turn. So definitely things to keep in mind. It's a very rehearsed match, but you have to know what to do. You have to know the lines. Iago, again, I can't overstate, is super solid on the draw in this matchup just because it then, if they went Genie and their plan was Genie Elsa, their plan looks so much worse now. So keeping those things in mind, learning all of the interactions that are favorable. Just remember, it's about card value. If they are going down cards to deal with your cards, that is not a problem. If they Hades something that you played, like a TikTok, and then open themselves up to getting Hadesed, that's really good for you. If you're the first one to Hades, usually means you're conceding that you're in a losing position, and you're just kind of hoping your opponent doesn't have it, which is sometimes the correct play. Like, don't get me wrong. But if you get your Hadesed, you're in a losing position from there.
Yeah, one of the things I've learned related to that as I've been playing it more and more is if you don't have to Hades, don't. Like,
right.
There's so many other options with moving damage or using Magical Maneuvers, Elsa, anything like that. Just try to hang on to them as long as you can, even if you have several in your hand.
Yes, this goes very much back to a Ruby Amethyst lesson that we learned when we were practicing and getting good with that particular one. And it was, you don't want to be prepared. Be prepared always should be plan Z. And Hades is not, he's a little bit different because of other cards, but, and the ability to be picked up and things like that. But Hades is often the thing you want to be doing last. But again, Magical Maneuver, I'll keep coming back to that card and shining a lantern on it because that lets me Hades, Magical Maneuver, and pick up that Hades very quickly. That's turn 8. My opponents can't do that because they're waiting for their elephants to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that puts me in a position of strength where I can go, I sniped your Hades and I resecured my Hades. That's a big deal.
And probably took something else out.
Right. Now board. I still have access to 4 Hades. You have access to 3 over the course of the rest of this longer game. That's an important metric to understand. So definitely worth practicing. So let's get into wrapping up the episode, because I did promise everybody that we would go over some cards that we hate to see as Blurple players. And I want to go over some of those cards, because if you hate Blurple and you just want to beat Blurple, I don't want this episode to not be for you. So you're welcome in advance. Sam, what are some cards you hate to see when you're playing Blurple?
I think cards with a 1-4 stat line.
One of your favorite Amethyst cards of recent printing has a 1-4 stat line. It happens to also quest for 2 sometimes.
Yeah, Timothy Q Mouse.
Timothy Q Mouse. If they go Palace Guard into Timothy Q Mouse, that is a rough play line for Blurple to deal with. You're really hoping that the Amethyst Steel players have started to move away from the more aggressively fronted play pattern of 1-4 into 1-4. Your fingers are crossed that that's the case. Mm-hmm. Because if they're playing that way, it's so much willpower. How am I supposed to dispatch all of that?
Yep.
Makes it extremely daunting. A lot of those decks have moved into playing a couple copies of Hypnotic Strength now, so they can clock your Iago, which is usually one of the best tools you have to fight against early threats, because that Iago just chews up every single one of their characters with no problem. So that becomes really daunting. TikTok actually can pay off pretty well in this match if you can get it down quickly. Just depends. If you're on like a weird double ramp plan, you might be able to get there. The double ramp plans are tough against this match if they're playing the aggressively statted characters, because you tend to fall behind too fast. Similarly, I think that there are cards that out of other decks that become really, really troublesome. Clarabelle's a big one. We talked about that a lot. You're Welcome. Mother Knows Best. Like, these tempo-y cards tend to be really, really backbreaking, because you don't want them back in your hand. Like, you're playing one card a turn for so many turns with Blurple. Like, there's only a couple turns where you really get to break serve and do two cards in a turn, which is turn 2 when you make an extra 1 drop off of sale. And then you typically don't get to make another one again until your 6th ink turn. And that's why, again, I keep highlighting Magical Maneuvers, because now I get to do 2 things. A 4 drop plus a 2 drop is very strong, and they're both board impactful, so it helps break up some of the really, really strong stuff that you don't want to see. I think another really like rough card to see early is Rhino Shift. You really don't want a shifted Rhino. I don't want Into the Unknown, that 2-card combo. I don't want that ever. Similarly, Clarabelle has that same problem. Even on the 5th ink, I do not want the one thing I don't want my Emerald Sapphire opponents to be doing is ramping. And I don't want them at more ink than me. And if they can quickly get to more ink because I'm just giving them free ink, it's really rough. And they can get ahead very quickly when that happens. So it's a card I don't want to see. Obviously, Bend to My Will, it's a card I really, really don't want to see, because I need my hand. I just need it. Yeah. I need to add things to the board that also fill my hand. That's kind of what I'm doing. That's the business I'm in. So I don't want something to break that up. That can be extremely daunting. I think that there are certain things in the mirror. TikTok becomes really rough. Second Star to the Right becomes really rough. Those are things I don't want to see. So I think that if you're careful and you're prioritizing, there's no deck that can't deal with this deck, which is why I think the meta is in a reasonably healthy spot. If you don't like any of the decks that are really popular right now, I would find that surprising, just because I think there's something that mostly matches what people do like to tend to do in the match, in the game for the most part. We've seen highlights of everything. The one big thing is just not that hardcore Ruby Sapphire control. We don't have that kind of a deck right now. But I think that there are a lot of things that you can play that really help you break up what Blurple is trying to do. Like, I don't think it's one deck. I think Amber Steel is a match that I'm always afraid to lose the die roll against, because it's just very hard to beat when I'm on the draw. On the play, it's still daunting, but sometimes I can get ahead enough that I can maintain control of the board. The Amethyst Steel decks, it can go either way. If they have a well-timed strength after an aggressive curve of high willpower characters, it's hard to get back because you just lack punching power, especially if you don't have a first or second turn Basil out. So that can get really daunting. Right now, it's just a tough meta because you don't know what you are playing, so you need to have a little bit of seasoning for as much as possible, which is why a card that can transcend and have an important role in multiple different matchups becomes so important. So it just keeps lines. So that's why the core of this deck has stayed the same. That's why we keep re-highlighting Magical Maneuver. It's a card that really, its cost on board of making you return a character to your hand is usually a benefit more than it's a drawback. And what it does to the opponent's board is often way worth that cost. So having cards like this can be really good. Cards like Second Star to the Right can look either completely insanely busted or completely in total liabilities for other matchups. Yeah. It's really difficult to structure your Blurple decks in a way where it's like, if I walk into a room, I'm confident I can take down anything, because you do have these cards where it's like, I have some cards in here that do really well against one thing and not so hot against another. So it makes it really, really hard to
keep questing.